I was screaming because I could hear her moaning and crying in the car.
A parked vehicle nearly becomes a death trap.
I was yelling, "Someone get your dog. It's in my car killing my dog."
Your dog was in her car.
True.
Now, a neighbor fights back.
It sounded good, but I'll give you the truth.
You lost control of your dog.
My dog was never provoked before.
Let me tell you why you're a moron.
Tell me.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Alyssa Stanhope is suing her neighbor, Christopher Butner, for vet bills and car detailing costs after his pit bull and chihuahua jumped into her car and attacked her Pomeranian.
Butner, all rise.
Case number 32 on the calendar, the matter of Stanhope versus Butner. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Ms. Stanhope, it is your claim that the defendant's dog mauled your dog.
Yes.
On your property.
Yes, ma'am.
And you want him to be responsible for all the vet bills and detailing your car, which was damaged by blood as a result of the dog attack. I'm not exactly sure what Mr. Butner's defense is.
How are you doing, Honor?
You thirsty already?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, finish your drink and then put it down. Is that better?
Yes.
Great. The two of you are neighbors?
Yes.
How long have you lived in your home?
Since March 2012.
And when did you move in, Mr. Butner?
We moved in about 8 months ago.
Do you rent your home or own it?
I own my home.
And you, Mr. Butner?
We rent.
You have one dog. I assume that's the dog that you have?
Yes.
How many dogs do you have, Mr. Butner?
I have two.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a pit bull, blue nose, and I have a chihuahua mix.
Yeah. Where do you keep your dogs?
I keep them in the backyard and in the garage.
Not in the house?
Well, sometimes they come in the house, but most of the time outside.
And when they come inside, they go into the garage?
Correct. That's where I have their bed.
On what date did this incident occur?
Monday, March 17th.
I'll hear you.
I came home from work at approximately 5:10. On Monday, March 17th, my husband and our two small children were in the front yard playing with the other neighborhood kids. I took my bags inside and realized that I had left the window down on our car. So I went back inside to get my car keys, and my little dog followed me outside.
Now, did you prepare that map?
Yes.
Okay. Would you go over to that map and show me where your house is and where your car was?
Okay. This is my house right here. Mm-hmm. And my car was right here in front of the single portion of the three-car garage.
On your property?
On my property.
So you went outside to get your keys to put the window up, and your dog got out?
She came outside with me.
And?
I was holding my baby, who was 18 months at the time, sat down in the seat of my car to put the key in the ignition to roll the window up, and I heard screaming. And when I looked down, there was a large pit bull trying to bite my dog. My dog ran under the car.
You mean outside?
Right outside my car. My dog ran under our car, and a little chihuahua was biting her and chased her out. My dog, Bella, jumped in my open car door from the floorboard. The defendant's pit bull jumped in right over the top of me and my baby and began biting her and throwing her about my car like a rag doll.
Now, the defendant's house is across a street.
Correct.
So his dog had to cross over the street in order to get to your house.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Now, how did you finally get the dog out of the car?
I got out of the car. I tried to pull the dog out. It reached around as if to snap me. My husband yelled at me to get the kids in the house.
Well, you had your baby with you.
Right. So I took the kids inside the house. My husband slammed the door so that he could get the other kids to their parents and to their homes, and he went to get a shovel. Once I had my kids inside the house, I came out and I was screaming because I could hear her moaning and crying in the car as she was being bitten, and I was yelling, "Someone, someone get your dog. It's in my car killing my dog." My neighbor to the left also has two dogs, a German Shepherd and a pit bull. He came running. He looked in the car and he said, "That's not my dog," and he went home. I continued to yell, at which point Mr. Butner looked around his property. He was running across the street. I don't know if he was doing gardening work, but he was putting on heavy gloves. He opened the driver's side door of my car.
Of your car?
And pulled his dog out.
Okay. Story.
That sounded good, but I'll give you the truth.
No, don't talk to her.
Sorry about that.
Talk to me.
I was mowing my yard. My two dogs were sitting inside my garage. I looked, they weren't there. I looked down the street, the neighbor was flagging me down, saying, "Your dog is over here." I walked down to her house. My dog is in her car with her little dog, both doors wide open.
Just a second. So your dog got out of your property, crossed over the street.
Correct.
And you found your dog in her car.
Correct.
So far, that's not totally inconsistent with what she's telling me. Do you understand?
Yes.
So what I want to know is, before I shut you down,
okay,
you turned to her when she finished her story and you said something to her, well, why don't you tell her the truth? So far, you lost control of your dogs. Your dogs crossed over the street. They were in her car, correct?
Oh, yes, correct.
Now tell me where the story becomes divergent.
Well, I didn't lose control of my dogs. My dogs sit in the garage.
No, listen to me. I want you to understand me. It's not he said, she said.
Right, right, right.
This is a legal concept that I'm telling you, so I want you to open up your brain and accept it.
Okay.
You lost control of your dog as soon as they left your property. You remain responsible for your dogs, whether they're on your property or not. But you are out of control of your animals once they are unleashed and off your property. So you lost control
True.
Of your dogs.
True.
Now, what I asked you was, how does the story that you're telling me differ from the story that plaintiff just told me?
Okay, first of all, she didn't have any kids in her arms.
No,
when I
not
went down
when you
there.
Got there, sir.
No,
listen to me. Listen to me. When you got there, your dog was in the car.
True.
You don't know what happened before that because, listen to me, Mr. Butner, a neighbor waved to you when you came out from the backyard and pointed.
I was in the front yard.
Or front yard and pointed and said.
I could see her.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Your dog's over here.
Right.
She told me a story that happened while you were gardening. There were other kids. They got put in the house. Whole bunch of stuff happened before you saw your dog in the car. Do you understand?
True.
I know it's true. Oh, I know it's true.
Where
Listen to me carefully.
All right.
I want you to answer my question.
Yes.
How does the story that you just told me differ from her story? Because I want you to understand this. You did not see the beginning of the story, because I assume that if you were paying attention to where your dogs were, you would have gone over there as soon as your dogs escaped from your control. So you didn't see your dog get into her car. According to you, you saw your dog in her car. You said you saw both doors open and your dog was in her car. That's when you first came on the scene. That's what you said you saw. I'm listening very carefully
right,
to
right.
you, Mr. Butner. So you don't know what transpired before that. Your dog could have crossed the street and could have done a series of pirouettes in front of her house. And she might have invited your dog to hop in her car. For all you know, that's possible. Does your dog pirouette? No. But could have. Your dog could have shot a commercial on the lawn. Do you understand?
Okay.
You don't know what happened because the first time you saw where your dog was when you got to the house and you saw both doors open and your dog in the car.
Can I rephrase that? Okay, when I saw my dog, they were going into the car with both doors open. Then I proceeded to go down there because the neighbor was pointing right at the car. Your dog's in here. Where I was doing the yard work, I never lost sight of him.
Can I see the medical records of the dog, please?
Sure, I also have the incident report.
Do you have renter's insurance?
Yes.
You have renter's insurance that covers a pit bull?
Nope.
Well, you should get it. They won't give you renter's insurance that covers your pit bull?
I never had a problem with it.
Well.
My dog is trained. He's never gone out
You
before.
Had a problem on March 17th, sir. You lost control of your dog.
My dog was never provoked before.
Listen to me. But they can provoke your dog all they want on their property. They can go like this. On their property, you have to keep your dog on your property. That's the law. Police officer says, I spoke with Butner. He told me he didn't see the incident. Police. He told me he didn't see the incident, but saw a neighbor pointing to her dog at Stanhope's home.
I think he's referring to the biting.
Who didn't see the incident? She wasn't complaining that your dog hopped in her car, sir. She was complaining that your dog attacked her dog in the car, and the police officer did, in fact, confirm that her dog was injured in the report.
It was my dog's blood that was on her dog.
No.
Yeah. Listen, it was my dog's blood.
I don't
he had a big scratch on his nose.
You have the DNA report? Let me tell you what the police officer said. I photographed the dog, Bella, and saw blood on her rear leg and her groin area.
Did he have DNA? How did he know it wasn't
You're
my dog's blood?
You're a moron. Can I please see?
I'm a moron?
Can I please see any other evidence that you have with regard to the dog's injuries? Yes, you are.
There's nothing to say.
Yes, you are.
There's nothing that says that wasn't my dog's blood.
Let me tell you why you're a moron.
Okay, tell me.
I'm going to tell you why.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You want to know how many times I've read about that and heard the same stupid remark? It's the first time it ever did it. It's around my grandchildren. I let it babysit for my niece.
And later today.
You were never together?
No, Your Honor.
Well, you had to be together a little bit.
No, it was strictly sexual.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you, but you had to be together a little bit.
No.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Melissa Stanhope says neighbor Christopher Butner owes for vet bills and car detailing costs after his pit bull and chihuahua jumped into her car and attacked her Pomeranian.
Because when she's going to tell me that on about the 17th of March,
right,
and I haven't looked at these things, that she took the dog to the vet, and I'm going to read these vet reports. And I'm telling you now, if the vet reports don't say that her dog was injured, I will apologize to you, and it's the first time since 1942 that I've apologized. Do you understand? So let me get to the animal clinic. I examined Bella and found she had significant bruising and swelling in her caudal duodenal abdomen and also had a hernia. The doctor noticed bruising around and on the area where the hernia was located. This type of hernia in an adult canine is usually caused by one of three factors: trauma, pregnancy, and obesity. The client's dog weighs 8.4 pounds, so obesity is not a factor. Due to the dog being spayed, it is the opinion of the doctor that the hernia was caused by the dog attack. Want to read it?
It's not true.
You're a moron. I'm going to repeat
myself.
I'm a
moron.
Yeah, you
are. It's not true.
You are.
Where's my dog on top of the dog?
If you have a big pit bull, sir, you make sure it doesn't get loose. Because instead of attacking the dog, it could have attacked one of the children that was playing in the front.
Never would attack any child. It's around children. I have two babies at the house.
You know how many times I read about that in the paper?
Not this time.
You want to know how many times I read about that in the paper?
I trained my dog.
How many times all these people have read about that and heard the same stupid remark? It's the first time it ever did it. Never did it. It's around my grandchildren. I let it babysit for my niece. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,500. That's all. Step out.
Excuse me. Step out.
I witnessed my dog roughhousing with their dog.
If she defended herself and managed to scratch his dog?
It was my dog's blood. It was on her dog.
Good for her. I'm glad she got a couple of licks in.
She made a big scene about it. You know, she's only out for money and greed.
I wanted to help her, and I couldn't.
Wanders around the neighborhood like she's the queen of it, you know? I mean, it's all lies.
I don't want to see another animal or a little kid get injured.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Francois versus Kaiser. Step forward.
23-year-old Evelyn Francois is suing her former lover, Daryl Kaiser, for an unpaid loan to repair his car and harassment.
Miss Francois, this used to be your boyfriend. According to what I read in your paper, you met him, you fell for him instantaneously. Within a few days, you had the key to his apartment. Within a few months, you say you were pregnant. Then things didn't go well, and you moved out of his apartment, and you immediately found another boyfriend. This is why you thought you were pregnant, right?
No, I never lived with him. I just had a key to
him. He had a key to his apartment, but then you found out you were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
According to you, things didn't go well. You left him, but soon found another boyfriend.
Yes.
But during that time, you thought you were pregnant.
I knew I was.
With his child.
Yeah.
You found another boyfriend. You're not pregnant anymore, right?
Unfortunately, no.
And then he came crawling back to you because he realized he made a terrible mistake. But when he crawled back to you, you weren't interested. But he needed $525 to fix his transmission, which you gave him, which is why we're here.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Mr. Kaiser says you did give him money for his transmission, right?
Yes.
But he said there wasn't a loan. You weren't supposed to pay back for that. He needed the money. You had the money. He took the money. He fixed his transmission. And pretty much he says you're a nut, right?
Yes.
Why would you take money from a nut?
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What would a stupid man do?
I can't say what a stupid man would do.
You're either smart or you're stupid. Which one are you? I'm not so sure. The jury's still out on that, depending upon your answer.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. 23-year-old Evelyn Francois is suing her former lover, Daryl Kaiser, for an unpaid loan to repair his car and harassment.
Now, why would you take money from a nut?
She was willing to give it.
Is that your answer?
It's the truth.
I love the truth. So tell me about it. Now, you weren't together. You're not boyfriend and girlfriend anymore. You know she's a nut. You didn't believe she was pregnant. That's what you wrote here.
Can I make a correction?
Yeah.
I was never her man. I mean, we was never together. Up until this point, she didn't even know my name. She thought my name was Chance. So we was never together.
You were never... Don't speak to him. You were never together?
No, Your Honor.
Well, had to be together a little bit.
No, it was never gay. It was strictly sexual.
It was strictly sexual?
Strictly sexual.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you, but you had to be together a little bit.
No. We were together on that part as far as sexual, but as far as her boyfriend and everything she's trying to make it seem like, we was all booed up and all. We wasn't booed up or nothing like that.
Mr. Kaiser, do you want this lady out of your life?
Yes.
Because you think she's a nut?
Definitely.
And you know that when you have somebody who's nutty, if they have any connection to you at all, it's like glue. You know, it's like a glue trap. You're gonna stick with it. Is your car running now?
Yes, it's running.
Are you working?
Yes, I'm working.
Why don't you pay her back the $525 and then she'll be happy and leave you alone? Wouldn't you like that?
That's if it was a loan. It was never a loan.
No. I don't care whether she threw it up in the air and say, if you catch it, it's yours. I don't care under what circumstances. Wouldn't it be a smart man who would say, I have the car, you're a nut. I don't want to have any connection to you. So I'm going to give you back the money that you gave me. And then we have no connection anymore. Wouldn't a smart man do that?
Maybe.
What would a stupid man do?
I can't say what a stupid man would do.
Well, you're either smart or you're stupid. Which one are you?
I'm pretty smart.
Well, then what would a smart man do if they wanted to get rid of a nut?
Probably would do what you said, but I didn't know she was a nut until afterwards.
But now, just a second, but now you know.
But now it's too late.
It's not too late. It's not too late. You're either smart or you're stupid. There's nothing in between.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Now, smart or stupid, and you say you wouldn't know what a stupid man would do, I assume, because you think you're not stupid.
Correct.
So I'm going to ask you one more time. What would a smart man do if they were connected to a nut from whom they took, I don't care what the circumstances were, $500? And if they could buy their peace of mind for $500, and if they were working, and if they're actually enjoying the benefits of the $500, because it's not like, you know, she gave you money and you both went out to eat together, so you both enjoyed it. You know, you both went to the theater, you both went on a vacation, you both went to a movie. We're not talking about that. We're talking about fixing your car that you're driving, usually with other girls in the car. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, I understand.
So we're going to get back to, you're either a smart man or a stupid man. You've already eliminated a stupid man. I'm not so sure. The jury's still out on that, depending upon your answer. So, Mr. Kaiser, what would a smart man do who'd want to get rid of a nut?
Come on, Judge Judy.
Well, you did that. Now Judge Judy is asking you a question, and you're going to answer the question.
Smart man would have gave her the money.
Would have given her money.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do. Judgment for the plaintiff. You're a free man.
Thank you.
$525. Don't bother him anymore. I'm not interested in your harassment. Do you understand?
Okay.
Perfect. Only my own.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. Judge Judy presides in primetime.
You're getting it, not me.
From New York's family court.
Clear, sir.
To America's favorite judge.
Start banging your head on the table and don't stop until I tell you.
Judge Judy's first primetime special. Check your local listings.
Oh, he's at my job. He's at my house.
else.
I just decided I wanted somebody else. And when I decided I wanted somebody else,
he's at my favorite burger place. Like, he's everywhere. He's stalking me.
Next thing you know, police is at my door talking about harassment. I'm like, harassment?
I called the police, yeah.
But that's the things that a nut would do, so.
Tell me to get a restraining order.
I mean, I'm finna just stay far away from her, man, and just go on about my life.
Do I still have feelings for him? We'll always be friends.
Wish you all the best, man.